You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world.
There's this thing in astrology called an annual perfection year. Oh, astrology is such a nuanced art, such a nuanced, multi-layered, multifaceted science. As I tell you guys, it's like learning a second language. Oh, it is difficult. Even I, who teach it every single day, even I, if I take a vacation or a one-week break to just tap out for a minute, I have to practice before I go do readings again, just to refresh my memory. And there is always something new to learn with astrology. And I have to tell myself, while I want to learn and go to all the conferences and read all the books, I have boundaries with myself. And I say, hey, wait, you have to finish this entire astrology book before you can buy another one. You have to give 500 hours worth of readings and this relationship composite before you can move to synastry. Otherwise, it just becomes this never-ending barrel of knowledge that I stuff in one ear, taste it, and it goes right back out. I'm not absorbing any of the nutrients, so to speak. Hi, guys. Welcome to another episode of Lightworkers Lounge. I'm your host, friend, astrologer, Stephanie Powers. Thank you for being here. Today, we're going to talk about the annual perfection wheel. If you don't know what that is, pop it into Google. Annual perfection wheel, to get a visual to go along with this, because I think it'll make a lot more sense if you can see it. Should I have a YouTube channel? Yes. But I'm so Taurus chill with this that we're just sipping iced coffee, hanging out in the motorhome. No ring light, no camera. You guys are my friends. These are coffee chats. Before we dive in, make sure to subscribe to our newsletter, What's New and Good, that comes out every Monday. You can find the link to subscribe to this in the show notes or go to lightworkers-lounge.com and subscribe. As well as, we have pre-recorded readings now. You guys really are starting to take advantage of those. I love seeing your names pop up on the schedule. Pre-recorded readings are for my busy people, my introverted people, who still want a chance to have me read your chart. I go on Zoom, I record the meeting, just me and your birth chart, share it on the screen, explain it to you, send you this pre-recorded reading, and you get to watch it whenever you want. So go to lightworkers-lounge.com and click on the little button at the top that says new pre-recorded readings and check them out. Read it. Go look at the FAQ on birth chart readings. Go read about me if you want to know more about my style and who I am, my background, where I come from. And of course, we have a whole page of reviews from past clients to share what they got out of birth chart readings with yours truly. You know, if you guys listen to the podcast from years ago, I used to say, I don't do horoscopes. I don't do predictions, because being an astrologer or anyone in a healing space, be it physical healing like a physician or a doctor or a nurse, or spiritual healing like an astrologer, a Reiki practitioner, breath work, shaman type work, anybody who works in the healing industry has to adhere to such a strict code of ethics. When you think of Western medicine or just the medical field, nurses, physicians, physician's assistants, nurse practitioners, LNAs, CNAs, all the things, those people have something called malpractice and HIPAA violations. HIPAA is just a protection of the patient's information and medical records. And of course, malpractice is malpractice with the physical healing. Well, astrologers, spiritual healers, counselors, therapists, we also have malpractice and an ethics code that we have to adhere to. Now, astrologers and spiritual things, this is a very new wave coming into the world. And as we talk about in the Pluto and Aquarius episodes, it's only going to grow in intensity. I mean, Pluto just got stationed into Aquarius a couple of months ago, back in January 20th of this year, 2024. And we're already seeing National Geographic sharing astrology. We're currently in the first Mercury retrograde of 2024, and it is on CNN. I saw a CNN article. For my Southern Hemisphere listeners, CNN is one of our biggest, maybe you guys already know this, I don't know. I don't watch news. I stay out of that. I'm too sensitive. But it was amazing to see Fox News. I'm looking at you. You're next. Now. But it's growing. And I think in the coming 18 years, as Pluto goes through this, especially when Saturn moves into Aries, or when Uranus moves into Gemini, communicating, we're going to have to see more standards and code of ethics and rules to adhere by with astrology. So how I got on that tangent, you'd think I have Gemini in my chart. I don't, although Mercury does sit on my Sag sun. But it's really important to know who you're learning astrology from. That's why every episode I try and tell you guys, you know, like, feet on the ground. Let's be realistic here. Let's use astrology responsibly. That's kind of me saying, applying my own code of ethics, knowing the amount of power I hold in my words and my definitions and how I express this art and science of astrology to people who are needing it for help, for healing. It's when their hearts are really vulnerable and open and curious, and they usually, you're going through a major life transition, or life just feels really uncertain and rocky, you move to those things, right? When your physical health is waning, you go to a medical practitioner and you trust them with everything. You just say, please give me the biggest source of wealth, my health, give it back. And the same thing with mental and spiritual and energetic healing. You go to astrologers, people like me and other of your favorites, and you're like, please give me your voice, gives me some source of grounding, healing. That's a huge responsibility that I don't take lightly. So I wanted to share that with you guys, tying into the reason why in the past I have not done horoscopes or forecasting, because it can get sticky. A lot of people can really plan and base the entirety of their lives over forecasting. And while I know it's quote unquote sexy and alluring to read bad forecasts, like, oh, you might find out that your lover is cheating on you in April. It can spin people out. And as you guys always hear me blab about social media, how we don't understand fully, none of us do, the subconscious ways that it is influencing us. We can read a horoscope that says, you're going to find out if your husband or wife is cheating on you this month, or it looks like you're going to lose a parental figure to death in the coming transit. It's like, oh, people don't understand. They just, it's factual. There are some things that you could pull from a birth chart or transits to come up with that. But how does that serve anybody besides give them entertainment that has a spike in cortisol and adrenaline in their body that makes them become addicted to it and they want more? You know what I'm saying? So I veered on the side of caution with horoscopes. I personally do not wake up and read them. I have a rule where I'll read them at the end of the day just to kind of apply what happened to, that's why, some validation. Okay, well, new day tomorrow, wake up, stretch, do it all over again. I have started to do podcasts with forecasting because I've started to be like, okay, well, I've gotten to know you guys, my audience. I read your birth charts, get to know you on a pretty personal level. And you guys are some fascinatingly, like I've said in a few episodes back, you guys are amazingly talented, smart, successful. I mean, we have physicians, attorneys, lawyers listening to this podcast. And that just makes me so flattered and honored that you guys choose me to get astrology information from. And so I kind of softened my approach to horoscopes because I realized, okay, these people can take it. They can take what resonates. They can leave what doesn't. And I'll just continuously remind you that it's just a weather forecast, right? We're about to watch the total solar eclipse here in the U.S. And so everyone in the path of totality is watching the weather forecast. I've been watching it since it came out 15 days ago on my little 15-day forecast. And it's changed every single day. Astrology is the same. nature versus nurture. You get to decide. Law of free will, how this energy manifests in your life. So I kind of took responsibility for it. Okay, they can handle it. I'll start forecasting and giving horoscopes. But you guys do notice that I do a little optimistic twist on it. I like to plant seeds of optimism. And if they don't sprout, that's okay. Right? That is okay. So that leads us into the annual perfection wheel. When we are forecasting, we like to do like a year ahead. People love the year ahead podcast episodes for your sign. What lies ahead in 2024? Well, like I was saying earlier, astrology is so nuanced. There are so many ways that you could use astrology as a predictive tool, depending upon what you're looking to gain from a predictive forecasting tool, right? I like to use the smoothie analogy that I used in the theme of your life, the Sun Through the Houses podcast episode. You may be a Libra sun, but if your Libra sun is in the second house of Taurus, oh, you are so Venusian. Your smoothie is one part Libra, one part Taurus. If you're a Gemini who's like, I am not a socialite, I'm more of an introvert, why don't I resonate with my sign? Well, perhaps your Gemini sun is in the 12th house of Pisces or the 4th house of Cancer, which means one half of the ingredients in your smoothie personality is Gemini, but we're dismissing a whole 50% that is Pisces, that is Cancer, that is a homebody, water. So this is the same analogy I'll use with forecasting, right? If we were to make a soup out of your year ahead, we're going to take three things. We're not just doing 50-50. We're breaking it up into three things, like 33% of 100. 33% is your progressed chart, the evolution, and that deserves its own podcast episode, of course, but the progressed chart tells us how your natal chart is progressing along. You've probably heard about the progressed moon that moves the fastest. You know, we have emotional eras in life, chapters in life, like, oh, that 2012 was great for me, but 2016 was terrible. Those are emotional eras. Your progressed moon is usually playing into those. So the other 33% will be your solar return chart, a brand new chart that is pulled on your birthday every year to forecast. Essentially, we just look at the rising sign in the house that the sun is in a solar return chart to see what energy is rising into your life. Ready or not, here it comes on the solar return chart. By the way, I added those to the pre-recorded readings. So if you're looking for a little birthday forecast, you can get a pre-recorded one. Go check it out, lightworkers-lounge.com. And the third piece of the soup, the 33%, the last one, is the annual perfection year, right? So of course, you mix all of these flavors into one pot of soup, and it's going to give you the flavor for the entirety of the year. I know this is so layered and multifaceted, but I trust you're with me still. We are just going to take a look at the annual perfection year. So let's define the word perfect. To perfect, definition is to advance, to promote, to move forward. The perfection wheel I would describe as being like the cousin of numerology. Now, if you're looking at an annual perfection wheel, it looks kind of like a birth chart with the pie slices and the houses on it, but it's so layered with numbers. Whoa, it looks like a statistics graph at first. It is quite wild, but if you Google it, there's some wonderful websites, bloggers. This one I'm looking at is pink and it's from InStyle. See, I'm telling you, astrology is getting really popular. But you look at the perfection wheel and the ascendant, your rising sign, is always age zero. Boom, you're born. Taurus is your rising. It was rising over the eastern horizon when you're born. So the entire first year of your life, you know, when you describe a baby as, oh, they're 3 months, oh, they're 6 months old, they're 9 months old, that is the first or the ascendant house. So you're learning big first house lessons of me. I'm here. I'm born. I am a person. And then the next time you'll experience a first house perfection year will be when you're 12. That's when you're about to become a teenager, hormone. A lot of young girls start their period. You step into womanhood. A lot of boys start their hormones going around this age. And you're really like, whoa, I'm a changing person, right? And then the next time you'll experience that is 24 years old, and then 36 years old, and then 48 years old, and then 60 years old. These are the years that in astrology, the perfection wheel are saying are years of advancing, promoting your sense of self, your individuality, your identity. Now you move to the second house and you experience a second house perfection year when you're 1 year old, when you're 13, 25, 37, so on and so forth. So as you can tell with the math here, every 12 years, you close out a cycle of going around the perfection wheel and learning lessons in every area of life and start over again. So the years 12 years old, 24 years old, 36 years old, 48 years old. These are really strong years of, whoa, I am beginning a brand new cycle of me. I look at the 12th house. These are when you're 11 years old, 23 years old, 35 years old, 47, 59 years old. These are usually years where you feel more isolated, shy, quiet. You really want to be reflective on what has gone on over the last 12 years. So for example, when you're 23 years old and you're about to have your 24th birthday, you may be feeling really nostalgic this year and processing everything that just happened to you throughout your teenage years. My God, our teenage years, all the way up until 21, when woohoo, you can go buy a beer, go get yourself a drink at the bar, and then you realize, okay, that's not as fun as I made it out to be for so long, okay? I'm an adult now. I have no more milestones. I got my driver's license. I became an adult at 18. I could buy alcohol at 21. Well, now what? Now where's the milestone? So at 23, you're really being reflective. At 35, you're being very reflective over everything that has transpired since you were 23 years old. Your 20s are like the new teen years. You're growing at such a rapid pace. I always describe the 20s as like the highest highs and the lowest lows. Just the extremities of that decade are, whoo, your 30s start to iron out. Your 30s are like doing spring cleaning, where you're still recognizing where in your 20s you were really just awful, have some things to learn and characteristics of your personality you need to change. Of course, your first Saturn return happens at 29, 30. So at 35, you could be sitting there going, wow, did I not learn anything from my Saturn return? Why am I finding myself in the same position that I was at when I was 25, 26? Shit. Or again, 35 could be celebrating a milestone of becoming a parent, of finally buying a home. And while those things are beautiful, celebratory experiences, they come with a phase of grief. Of, you know, if you're becoming a parent in this year, you're really like, whoa, a new side of me is being born at 36. Right? Do you see how the perfection wheel works here? So let's look at the second house of self-worth and learning lessons about money and value. When you're 13, you may start to be like, hey, I want to make money so I can go out with my friends. And I'm at that age where I can still say, hey guys, mom, dad, I want to go out with my friends. Can you give me some money for pizza? And they will, but they're going to start asking you to do something to earn the money. 25, you could be at your first big boy or big girl job and realizing, oh my God, it's really expensive to be an adult. Jesus. 37, you may experience the most money you've ever received in your life or abundance in your career. Let's hop over to the third house, perfection wheel. This is when you're 2 years old, learning to speak. When you're 14, learning communication skills with your teenage friends and your parents telling you what to do. Don't tell me what to do. I know what to do. My brain is developed. That's sassy. 26 years old, you may be in a serious relationship, engaged or married or just dating and learning communication. 38 years old, you could make a living from communication, writing, publishing, speaking. and 50 and 62 can goes on and so forth. The fourth house perfection years when you're 3 years old, 15 years old, 27 years old. Think about it. When you're 3 years old, you can probably talk, say a few words. I don't know, guys. I've never been a parent, so don't judge me on this. But you're still developing your communication style. But at 3 years old, you're anchored to, okay, that's my mother. That is my father. This is my room. This is what we eat. You're really in that fourth house like, oh, that's my cousin. That's my uncle. That is my grandma, my grandpa. You're learning the fourth house lessons. At 15 years old, you're having another fourth house perfection year, and you probably want to get the heck away from your family. Or a lot of parents get divorced when the children are teenagers, around 15, 16. You're getting your driver's license. You're leaving the house. Your parents are like, all right, they're getting older. I'm out of here. And you're learning about fourth house lessons. When you're 27, you might be starting your own family. Or when you're 27, you may be in therapy from the family you come from. You're really starting to learn here. Maybe you're buying your first house. Who knows? At 39, you're learning the lessons. At 51, you're having another one. See how this works? Fifth house, perfection year. This is fertility, ego, creativity. When you're 4 years old, you're having a fifth house perfection year. You're getting creative. You're really learning, if you have siblings, how to not do ego things with them. At 16 years old, you're just a walk. You're an ego with legs walking around. Need I say more? But also at 16, how is that like the cliche age for a teen pregnancy is 16, right? Oof. At 28 years old, you could be having your first child. I would say 28 is like the most fertile average year that women get pregnant and have children. Right? It's so cliche. 40 years old, you're learning fifth house energy again. I know so many 40-year-olds. And what's strange is in my readings, the average age over the last 2 years of women who are getting pregnant for the first time is 43. I don't know why that is the magic number. But when I speak to women who were born in the 70s, 80s, and I'm like, hey, wow, you're pregnant. Because we talk about the fifth house. And they're like, yeah, it's my first. I'm like, are you 43? And they're like, how did you know? Of course, I can see their birth chart. But previously looking at it, it's amazing to see that that's some magical number, which 43 is an eighth house perfection year. That's huge. Scorpio. Scorpio rules sex. It rules the pelvic region. That's all I'm saying. So the sixth house, this is the house of health, work, routine. 5 years old, you're going through a sixth house perfection year. 17, you probably have your first job at 17 and you're learning what it's like to work with people, have coworkers. 29, your first Saturn return is a sixth house perfection year. You could be switching jobs or realizing, I just wasted my 20s to a job I hate. I've got to make a change. You could have health scares during this year. Now remember, guys, we all have health scares. My God, you remember my voice just a month ago? I had the flu for 6 weeks. I was laying in bed last night going, wow, I just realized my cough is finally gone. I look at the piles of cough drops and I'm like, wow, 6 weeks. That's crazy. 41, you're having a sixth house. 53. Now, the seventh house perfection year. This is a strong one, similar to the first and the fourth, the seventh, and then of course the last one will be the 10th. These are our angular houses. These are really big areas of life. Of course, the first house of self, fourth house of family, seventh house of our most intimate relationships, and 10th house of our purpose, our career. Those are pretty juicy areas of life that if one is imbalanced, all of the others are affected, right? So when you're 6 years old, you're having your very first seventh house perfection year. You are learning a lot about mom and dad, relationships. You are watching and learning how adults interact. You're learning how you interact. Who do I feel comfortable with? Who do I not? Who do I want to get close with and feel safe with? Who do I not? That is so 6 years old. And then this happens again when you're 18. There are a lot of people who are married and they met when they were 18. That seems like, again, a magic number where people, if they're high school sweethearts, they probably started dating around 17, 18 years old and stay together. Irregardless, the relationships you have around age 18 are really here to teach you about heartbreak. They're here to teach you about what commitment actually takes. And then, to no surprise, the age-old Saturn return year of age 30 falls in the seventh house perfection year. So many divorces occur at 29 and 30 years old, right in the seventh house perfection year. Similarly, a lot of people end up meeting the one during a seventh house perfection year. This is at 18, 30, 42, 54, 66, goes on and on. Now, the eighth house perfection year, this is the house of Scorpio. It's learning to let go. It's learning that, oh my gosh, no matter what I do, there's going to be discomfort in life. Oh my gosh, no matter how much I crave peace and happiness, there are dark sides to humans that I cannot control. I just decide how I maneuver around them or let go of it. These are the years 7, 19, 31, 43, 55, and 67, so on and so forth. You just keep adding 12 to each number. 19 years old is when I hear a lot of people get abortions. Just going to throw it out there. That's an eighth house thing. Miscarriages as well falls under this. Unfortunately, this is also the first year that a lot of people attend college and university, and sexual assault, sexual abuse tends to run rampant around this age. Again, if you're listening to this and you're 17 or 18, you're like, oh shit, this is, no, that does not mean it's going to happen to you. The high side of the eighth house perfection year is you heal a lot. You finally uproot and let go of something dark. You are no longer afraid of the dark side of people because you're confident in your ability to let go of them or the situation, to transform around that energy. These could be years you step into your power, your sexual power, your energetic power. 31, 43, 55, they go on and on. Forgive the beeping. I am in a RV park. Lots of noises going on. The ninth house perfection year. This is when you're 8 years old. Maybe you're going on your first trip with the family, or you're discovering, hey, wait, I love to leave my hometown. I want to keep doing that. So it begins. 20 years old, 32 years old, 44, 56, 68, so forth. Not only are you traveling a lot or just have an urge to leave where you come from, this is the year of your belief system. Think about when you're 8 years old. You're probably starting to realize if your parents forced you to go to Sunday school or church, you might start to be like, okay, this is a routine. I like the people when I go to these services, but I don't know if I believe in this. But I'm still 8 years old, so I'm just going to believe what my parents tell me to because I still think that they have my best interests at heart. I still think that they hung the sun, moon, and stars, but I don't like this stuff. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't resonate. It doesn't make me feel anything like everybody else. What are my beliefs? I remember when I was 8 years old, why I would go through my mom's room is the most Scorpio moon child thing ever. I just loved my mom. I still think she hung the sun, moon, and stars. But she had this bookshelf, and I just loved to flip through her books. She collected crystals and rocks. That's right. She's an Aquarius. And I would just go through it all and be like, these are fascinating. And she had a box of like OG tarot cards that I was like, what are these? And my mind was always so attracted to them. But I was 8 years old. I remember, and I was like, these things are so cool. I want to play with them. What do they mean? What are all these? The Joker, the Tower? What does it mean? The High Priestess? I loved it. My beliefs were forming. 20 years old, 32 years old, 44, your beliefs are switching, changing. Allow them. Don't be stubborn during this perfection year. Let it happen. The 10th house perfection years. What do I want to be when I grow up? Go ask a 9-year-old what they want to be when they grow up. And actually listen. Don't dismiss it and say, oh, cool, honey. That's great. I believe in you. No, write it down. Record a 9-year-old saying it. So show them again when they're 21. And they graduate college, and it's time to go out in the real world, right? This is that 10th house perfection year. You are slapped with reality and figuring out, what is my purpose? A lot of things that happen during the years of 9 years old, 21 years old, 33 years old, 45, 57, 69, so on and so forth. Keep adding 12. A lot of things that happened those years, good and bad, if you look back in hindsight, they are shaping you for your purpose in life. So many people utilize astrology to answer the age-old question, what's my purpose? Look at your 10th house perfection years and write down what happened to put more pieces of that puzzle together. Right? 9, 21, 33, 45. Look at those years and see what happened. What major milestones did I reach? Did I not reach? What trauma did I go through that year? What pain did I endure? What amazing things did I celebrate in those years? The 11th house perfection years. These are years you really learn about friends, friendships. You really get your hopes and dreams put to the test. Or the high side of this, you make friends in these years. You celebrate the friends you have. Some of your hopes and dreams may come true during these years. This is 10 years old, right? 10 years old, you're like knee deep in elementary, middle school, and you're learning, okay, I get along with those types of kids. Those are my people. 22 years old, you're saying goodbye to college friends where it's like all your friends live in the dorm room with you, so it's very easy to make friends. Now you're out in the real world. Perhaps you moved away for a job and you're like, oh my God, I have no friends in this new town. How do I make friends as an adult? Says the 22-year-old, the 34-year-old who's experiencing this as well. Again, 34, it may be a tough year for friendships because you may be slapped in the face with the reality of, oh, who I thought were my friends are actually not. Or, okay, my hopes and dreams are this, and the friend groups that I'm associating with every day are not going to get me to that. God, I got to make a tough decision on who I put energy into this year. Same with the ages 46, 58, and 70. It's very, you know, around 58 and 70, these are the years where you may be moving into retirement or like an RV park, like where I'm surrounded by older people and everybody here is so kind. Every RV park we've ever stayed at, I absolutely love because everyone's there under the same energy. We love to live minimally in nature. Every evening, everyone sits outside of their motorhome and just has a mocktail or a cocktail. Kids are outside covered in dirt, greasy, matted hair, just stuck to their face, climbing trees barefoot. And I'm like, wow, all the neighborhoods we've lived in, I've never seen this. But a motorhome park, they're out there getting it, and it's so cool. And I think around the ages 58 and 70, you realize even more so how important it is to have a community, to go to bingo class, to go to a Pilates class, to be around people your age and just be there for each other. Hey, I'm your neighbor. If you need anything, you holler, okay? And the final one, the 12th house, the house of self-undoing. These years are very reflective. These are, all right, wrap it up because we're beginning a brand new 12-year era, a whole decade during these years. This is 11, 23, 35, 47, 59, and 71, so on and so forth. Think of the age of 11, right? You're really starting to realize, oh, I'm definitely not a kid anymore. I'm getting older. I have to wrap up what it was like to be one. You're wrapping up your childhood at this age. You're realizing, whoop, here come the hormones. Here comes the teenage responsibilities. Here comes the big adulting life lessons. Like they're pouring in. You're in middle school, about to go into high school. You're really growing up. So it's a very reflective year. 23. I know for me at this age, I was engaged, about to be married. And I reflected a lot on, holy cow, that like, this is a serious thing. Am I sure I want to do this? Very reflective. I'm 35 right now. So I look at this and I'm like, okay, back in December, I entered my 12th house perfection year. So I'm going to give myself the permission slip to be a little bit more quiet. If you've noticed, I'm not on social media as much for a multitude of reasons, but this is one of them. It's a time where I want to work with the flow of things. I naturally feel like I don't want to post selfies. I don't want to show my face. I just want to kind of recluse to tap into wrapping up everything that has happened to me since 24 years old. Because when I turn 36 this year in December, I'm beginning a brand new perfection wheel. Brand new. This is huge. This is so reflective. And I'm excited for it. But it's a sad year. You're really processing what you learned so that you can move forward starting at age 36, 48, 60 with a clean slate moving forward. Now, I want to just use myself as an example to show you guys how you forecast using not only the perfection wheel, but utilizing a solar return, progress charts, all of these things. So what's interesting is I did a lot of research on my own life and my own birth chart to really drive this point home for the podcast. The eclipses that we're all talking about right now that are so potent are in Aries and Libra. In my personal chart, this is hitting off my 6th and 12th house. This is the axis of healing. I'm currently in a 12th house perfection year. And in my solar return chart, Libra is the energy rising into my life this year for my 35th year of life. And Libra rules my 6th house. So while there's so many different pieces, you'll see that my 6th and 12th house, when I pull my progress chart, when I pull my solar return and my look at my perfection year, my 6th and 12th house axis is screaming for my attention. This is the axis of healing. This is the axis of, okay, Steph, be very cognizant with your physical health. Pay attention to my diet. I look at what I do for work. I look at my day-to-day routines and see where can I bring more optimism or more health into them. Who do I work with? Who do I want to work with? But my 12th house, it's a year of wrapping things up. It is a year of letting go of pieces of myself that I cannot bring into this brand new perfection wheel that's going to start on my birthday this year with the first house again. And I've had those realizations. I'm a very self-aware person, but I'm really turning up that dial in every interaction I have, from talking to my neighbors in the morning or to even how I treat Jeffrey, my dog, and looking like, okay, I really struggled to leave him alone. Why? What deeper part of me is struggling with that? Does my reaction match the crime? Right? If I'm really upset about something someone did or said to me, I'm going to go isolate and ask, does my reaction match the crime? If it doesn't, if I'm overreacting, why is that so sensitive for me? The only way we can process things like that is through isolation. 12th house, right? So all of these things are nuanced, and it's really cool to bundle them up into a soup and say, oh, my soup is definitely saying, girl, it's time to heal. It's time to let go. It's time to really heal your physical body. I want to focus on more massages. Once we get settled somewhere, for the first time in my life, I'm going to look into hiring a personal trainer. I love my body the way it is, but I would love to just feel more strength. I would love to feel stronger in my physical body, because I think that the physical will be a direct reflection of my 12th house mental subconscious. I think if I can show myself that I can physically do something, I once told myself I couldn't, like, I don't know, run a marathon, or I told JL, I was like, I would love to get into professional cycling, just utilize these Sagittarian legs and get energy out while also proving that at 35, I can be stronger than I was at 25. So 6th to 12th house axis. And so that's why I love to use this energy of the annual perfection year. You know, every 7 to 8 years, we have a Saturn transit. Those are fun. You have Saturn squares, Saturn oppositions, and of course, every 30 years, a Saturn return. But the annual perfection wheel really hits the reset button on 12, 24, 36, 48, 60, 72, so on and so forth. So that's where I'll wrap it up with the perfection wheel. I wish you guys were here so I could get your ages and see how the year that you are advancing, promoting, moving forward in is going for you. And again, with the perfection wheel, don't look at it like, oh, I'm in my 2nd house perfection year. I'm going to lose money. I'm going to struggle with money. No, because remember the definition to perfect is to advance, to move forward. I'm in the 12th house. If you Google the 12th house, you'll see mental health, endings, crisis. No, I'm in a state where I get to advance with my mental health, where if I experience crisis, which guys, you know, no matter what transits you're having, you're going to experience crisis every year. I'm sorry. It's being a human. It sucks, but that's why we have tools and communities like this to lean on during those times. But I like my 12th house perfection year because this tells me that when I'm met with crisis or conflict or a period of depression or anxiety, I have the power now to advance with how I reacted to those things when I was 23, to how I reacted to those things when I was 11. Now at 35, I get a chance to say, you know what? Conflict isn't so scary anymore. And you know what? I'm in a crisis right now, but I have tools that I can use to minimize the effect of this crisis. I feel so strong. And once I work on this 12th house muscle all year, happy birthday, it's December. I turned 36 and I began a brand new era where I feel even more strong. And then I turned 48 and reset the wheel again. And thank God, I thought I knew it all at 35. Woo-wee, listen to those podcasts. I love you guys. Again, pre-recorded readings are now available. Lightworkers-lounge.com. Please sign up for the newsletter. I love seeing so many people subscribe every day. Writing, I think, is where I'm going to eventually turn my career to go towards. I dream of being a novelist and writing stories that you guys can just tap out of your realities into. And you know, I'm just going to announce it. My dream is to write a novel that is turned into a movie or a show. That is the dream of all dreams for me. And this newsletter that I beckon you to subscribe to every podcast episode is a slow turn into that. So please, if you enjoy supporting my work, it would mean the world to me if you go subscribe. Okay. Stay cool. Stay calm. Eclipses ain't so bad. They happen every year. Just tap in to your inner world. Tap out of this crazy world. I'll see you guys next episode. Sending love from a snoring pug in a motorhome in Texas and beyond. Goodbye.